Well, hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I am Tim Healy, and I'm inviting you to join me each and every Wednesday so you can be prepared to win the battle for business. So as always, thanks for sharing some of your time with me today. And you know what? I got to make it worth your while. So that's why I invite the kind of guests on that you can listen, learn, and earn from. Today's guest will be no exception. So as you're listening to today's show, maybe you are on your morning jog. Maybe you're at the gym. Maybe you've got the show playing in the background. I don't know. But hey, I'm glad you're listening. But what I'd like you to do, I want to have your attention on this one. This is important. No matter what it is that you're doing right now as you're listening to the show, I want you to stop. And I want you to ask yourself this one important question. When was the last time you allowed yourself to dream? Or even, may I say, when was the last time you allowed yourself to dream big? Or have you allowed yourself to become a passenger on the train of life excuses? And you know what that train looks like. The excuses are, well, I'm too old, I'm too young, I don't have enough money, I don't have a degree, I don't have the right degree, I'm too short, I'm too tall. I have kids, I have a mortgage, I have bills, I got injured. And the list of excuses on that train can get longer and longer if you allow it. And I did say, and I want you to hear this, folks, and we all have been, myself included, have allowed ourselves at one point in life to be passengers on that train. Again, you allow yourself to get on that train of excuses. And that's what gets in the way of dreaming and dreaming big. So today we're talking about dreams. And today I want you to think and take a deep breath and say, hey, you know, it's been a while. I want you to say to yourself, hey, it's okay to dream. Maybe it's been a while about a personal dream or a professional dream. It doesn't matter. But again, it starts with the question, as I often do on the Profit Express. Now, today's guest and who he is and what he brings to the show is absolutely perfect. His story is an amazing story. He realized a childhood dream of becoming an NFL player. And not only did he realize a dream of becoming an NFL player, which so few of us can, he actually was on the Super Bowl champion 1996 Green Bay Packers. And he's got a phenomenal story to tell about that. But not only did he realize his own dream, I would say, even now, more importantly, through his foundation, Dream 68, he's helping children identify and realize their dream. So as we listen to his story, today's guest is Gary Brown, number 68, offensive lineman. He was with the Green Bay Packers. And as I said, he was a member of the 1996 Super Bowl winning Green Bay Packers. And it's not often we get to talk to an NFL player, and you know, the odds are stacked against so many of them. And he understands what it is to dream and to realize that dream, and now he is helping others achieve theirs. So it is a great privilege, and it's a great thrill to have on the Profit Express, number 68 himself, Gary Brown. Gary, how are you today?
I am awesome. I'm awesome to be here. Thank you, Tim. Thank you for the Profit Express. I'm excited. I'm ready to get going.
Well, thank you. Listen, I love your enthusiasm. It's not often I get to talk to an NFL player, a Super Bowl winning NFL player as well. Listen, so many people who are listening, especially to the guys out there, like, hey, you know, dreaming of becoming an NFL star or a baseball star or a basketball star. So at least you got to live that dream. But so let's talk about that. When you started, did you start playing football? You were a kid, I assume. Is it Pop Warner, maybe?
Yes, I started at a Pop Warner age. I was born here on Long Island in Amityville. At a young age, I moved to Brentwood. And to make friends, I think the first thing my parents did was put me into like whatever sports I wanted to do. So I started out in Pop Warner football, yes.
So, okay, so your parents knew sports were a good thing, so they got you involved in sports, which is great advice, by the way. When can you identify a period where you first really started to have that dream of, hey, I want to become an NFL player?
The longer my career went, as far as college and junior college, I started at Nassau and then Georgia Tech, the more I thought it might be possible. But it wasn't until, you know, years later that I received a letter from my sixth grade teacher that that made me realize that that seed was planted at a very young age. I had a school assignment, and I believe it was sixth grade, with Mr. Vasilla. Wow, I remember that. And he's a great man. He's a guy that did a lot for the kids. They went far and beyond for his children. And we had an assignment to write letters on what we wanted to be when we grew up. And it must have been on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, because I remember watching Jim McMahon for the Chicago Bears with the whole Super Bowl shuffle and their Super Bowl team. I remember watching him get kind of beat up a little bit in the first half, and then he took his headband off of his head and put it around his neck, and it started a fashion craze the next day in school. And all I wanted was a headband and to be a football player, and I wrote that on my letter and my assignment in school. And 20 years later, my teacher mailed those letters to us, and I read it and was like, my jaw hit the floor. I was like, who would ever knew? If I didn't receive that tangible letter 20 years later, I would have never remembered that it happened. So I think I'm a firm believer in writing your goals and your dreams down. I'm a firm believer in affirmations. I'm a firm believer in, if you want to achieve something, put it on paper, make a plan, and start attacking that plan. And that's the only way you can succeed.
Wow. Okay, so you mentioned it. I didn't catch it. What was that teacher's name?
Say that one more time. You broke up a little bit.
The teacher's name, you mentioned it. I didn't catch it, Gary. I'm sorry.
Mr. Vasilla.
Mr. Vasilla. Okay, so he gives you an assignment of, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? What are you dreaming to be? So, you know, you told a story, you wrote it down. Okay. It's an assignment I'm sure a number of teachers have done with students. But he had, I guess he had his own plan, and he mailed it to you 20 years later? That's almost spooky.
It is. I guess it's like a kind of a reminder of where you want to be later, or what do you want to do later. Or I guess it comes at a good time in life when questioning your decisions you made. And when I received it, I was like, wow, I actually have it. I'm going to frame it and put it in my, I'm making a men's den downstairs. And I'm going to have a couple of items like that I'm putting in there.
Wow, that's a tremendous story. So you were playing football from a young age. You went to locally here, a junior college at Nassau Community, and then on to Georgia Tech, and then finally the NFL. But let me ask you, so it's, and again, I have no idea what it is to become a professional athlete. Obviously, I know it's a long, tough journey. But we're talking about dreams today, again, with Gary Brown, the guest number 68 himself, who's on the 1996 Green Bay Packers Super Bowl championship team. So, Gary, as you're going from, the Pop Warner and then into high school and college football, do you recall moments of doubt? Do you recall moments that you came close to quitting?
Absolutely. I think back then, especially, the sport was made, the coaches coached to weed out the weak and focus on the guys who appear to be stronger. My vision on going to the NFL wasn't clear, wasn't something I was thinking about. My goal every day in practice, from high school to junior college to Georgia Tech, was to go out and do better tomorrow than I did today and be better than I was yesterday. I had a firm belief that if that next man can do it, I can do it. And, you know, I'm glad I took the course I went, because there were a lot of athletes better than me. Nassau Community College, for one, was a star-studded, you know, program. They had local heroes from all over Long Island, New Jersey, all five boroughs, upstate, and they have some talented players. And I was on the bottom of that list.
And really?
To watch myself. Oh, yeah. I barely made the team. Not many people know this. But my first year trying out, back then they had a made it list and a cut list. And so if you made it, you were on one list. And if you were not good enough or weren't ready, strong enough mentally, physically, or emotionally, they put you on the cut list. And that was your way of saying that you didn't make the team. Well, I went to the wall to look if I made it, and I wasn't. And then I wasn't on the cut sheet. And I'm like, well, what do I do? And I just roamed the halls for a couple of days. And then the coach, John Anselmo, ran into me and said, Gary Brown, where you been? And I'm like, well, I didn't make the team. He said, yeah, but I didn't cut you. And I'm like, so what am I supposed to do? He's like, you're supposed to come talk to me. I was like, there wasn't a list for that. I didn't know. So I tried out for defense. And they had studs from all over the country playing defense.
Right.
He said, we think you're a good enough athlete. And an offensive line coach is interested in you. Would you want to play offensive line? And I'm like, does that mean I made the team? And he was like, if you want to play offensive line, you do. I said, yeah, sign me up. Let's go.
Right.
So
right.
My goal was to make the team at any position I could. And that's a lesson that I teach a lot of the kids, because these kids I see today are like, no, I'm a quarterback. I'm like, dude, you're 8 years old. You don't even know what size foot you're going to have in 2 years. How are you going to tell me what you're going to grow into? So when I do football camps, I make sure all the kids play all the positions, just because you never know.
You were predominantly a defensive player up until that point?
Well, no, I played offense and defense, but you know, your ego and growing up, like I said, watching the superstars on television on Monday night and watching, you know, Michael Jordan shoot the last shot, every kid practiced that. So you want to play a position that has stats.
Right.
Offensive line has no stats.
Yeah,
the only time
we
get called out is if we're holding or if the quarterback gets sacked. That's one time they mention your name.
Yeah.
The running back scores a 99-yard touchdown, he gets all the credit. Quarterback throws a touchdown, he gets all the credit. The receiver gets the credit.
Right.
As soon as something goes wrong, it's the offensive line's fault. So nobody really wants to play the offensive line as a child.
Sure.
You want to create sacks. You want to do your dance, and you want to do touchdowns. You want positions that have notoriety. But Nassau taught me the importance of offensive line, and it taught me the importance of teamwork and going where the team might need you. It might be something bigger in it for you than going where you want to go. I use what I went through and what that platform to educate others.
So Nassau was a great experience for you, as it just shared. Then you spent time at Georgia Tech, and then you were drafted. So you have this career in the NFL. And listen, so many people would be happy to make it into the NFL, which you did. But then thankfully you're part of the 96 Super Bowl winning team, the Packers. So I'd like to kind of get your sense on what that experience was like. And I think, you know, for today's show, again, we're talking dreams and giving ourselves the permission, which a lot of adults, as I'm sure you can appreciate, Gary, adults, you know, we get busy being adults, and then, you know, we stop being dreamers, and we don't allow ourselves to dream, and we become victims of excuses. So you're in that dream of the NFL. The dream is realized. What was your greatest takeaway from that experience?
You get out what you put in. There's still some regrets on maybe you always look back and say, I could have did a little bit better. I could have did a little bit more. I could have played a little longer. That's just the competitive nature of an athlete.
Sure.
And you know, I'm very thankful for what I've been through, what football has gotten me, where it's taken me. I traveled all over the world playing football, a sport that I love, competing with all kinds of people. I love that. But you always have that thing in the back of your head, what if I would have focused a little earlier? What if I, and the message and the lesson I got out of that is, anything's possible as long as you put your mind to it, put in the work. You know, a dream is a dream, But you put it on paper, it becomes a plan. And then you work that plan. You know, five people can have the same plan. But for that person that's getting up, attacking that plan, and in the middle of the day, revisiting that plan, and at the end of the day, revisiting that plan, they're going to go much further with their growth than the person that looks at it once a week or attends it. You got to nurture it. And I learned that word through real estate because football was my product, but it's the same business model as anything else. You get out what you put in, you know, prepare yourself, educate yourself and follow through. I do real estate now and I have my nonprofit organization, but none of it would be possible if I didn't put in the work, if I didn't nurture the leads, if I didn't follow up and follow through. I learned that with the kids that I mentor. The first day I mentored the kids, I was so happy. I had a group from a shelter, a homeless shelter of about 10 to 15 boys. And the second time I went back, they kicked my butt. They I walked out with my tail between my legs. And I sat in the parking lot and I cried. And I cried and I'm like, I didn't sign up for this.
Wait,
I wanted to do.
Come on. So you're mentoring these boys from a homeless shelter. How do they kick your butt enough that you broke down?
The very first day I went, you know, they're intrigued on what I have to offer. They're intrigued that I played football. They were intrigued. The very second time I went, they let their guard down and they were just, you know, as wild and as reckless as they wanted to be with no regard for authority or paying attention or being in the group. And it took me about an hour to just try and get the kids to sit down and listen to me. And when I got done, they wore me out so bad. I sat in the parking lot and I'm like, what just happened? And I'm like, I'm ready to walk away right now because this is not what I signed up for. And on my way home, I said, you know what, Gary? Everybody, these kids are testing you. And everybody that comes into their life walks away. My job is to just keep showing up. And before you know it, I won the kids over. I got some discipline. I straightened a lot of them out. I'm still in contact with a lot of them. I do in-house mentoring. And as families transition to their own homes, I mentor the kids after that. And it was beautiful because I'm seeing the young men that they're becoming. But it was a challenge for me. And it was just as big of a challenge as me trying out at Nassau Community College. Afraid, scared, didn't want to go back. But the more I went back, the more comfortable I became, the better I became, the more intuitive I became, the more, you know, growing with them, you know, just like any business and sports, business, people, it's all the same. It's just a different product.
So your first experience mentoring these kids, they were homeless kids. So life can certainly be tough for anybody who's homeless, especially kids. Then they test you because, and this is what I'm hearing, Gary, and this is almost a mic drop kind of answer. This is powerful. Since they, through their lives, have unfortunately been disappointed by so many adults or whomever it might be, they're testing you. And you had to show up. So, wow, quite the lesson you learned from those group of youngsters.
I had to prove myself to them. I had to prove that I was worthy enough to tell them what to do or to for them to show me their grades. Or I had to get their respect before I get their attention and then get their respect. It was a life learning experience for me. Thank God I went back because I'll be honest, I didn't want to. I was like, I bit off more than I could chew. This is not for me. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not, you know, these kids need bit more help than I can give them. And it wasn't the truth. The truth was I had something to offer and I wasn't going to stop until I got through to somebody. And luckily I did. They still thank me to this day, the staff there. It's the same shelter. I feed them for Thanksgiving, about 500 people. I take on about 300 kids for Christmas.
Right.
Just from that one shelter. I've been doing it for over 10 years. It's amazing.
So then... Wow, that's an incredible story where, you know, it almost sounds like, hey, you thought, well, hey, you know, these kids will want to hear from me. You know, I had a great NFL career. And, you know, they had a different story to tell you. Man, that is terrific. That really is. Now, one thing I'd be interested to learn, kind of get your take. I think so many of us have heard, you know, of professional athletes in all the different sports, of course. You know, I think any athlete, you know, no matter how long their career is, if they've had time in any professional sport, is truly blessed. But then transitioning from, you know, life in professional sports to, you know, I'll call it civilian life. You know, we've all heard stories where it can be tough on a lot of players. How was your transition going from the NFL, you know, back to quote unquote regular life?
It was very interesting, and I know exactly what they mean by tough. It, you know, fame and popularity and celebrityism, all is just as powerful as any drug. Mm. And when you look at it and think about it like that, the withdrawal from it can be just as devastating. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I have a book coming out now, 25 years after I played football. Mm-hmm. I was offered a book deal, probably 10 book deals within my first year of retiring. And I said, well, I'm not writing a book. What are you going to call it? When the crowd stops cheering or when nobody wants your autograph? You know, and that's how I really felt inside my heart. It's depressing, and everybody goes through that. Think about it. We just talked about me playing football from such a young age, all the way through college, all the way through high school, let alone junior college to college, and then my NFL career. And after I was done with NFL, I played in Europe. And after I was done with Europe, I played in Canada. I finished my career in Canada for 3 years. All I knew prior to that was football, and then one day it's over. Yeah. You know, and nobody wants your autograph. Being in New York is a tough place to be. If I still lived in Green Bay, it would have been a slow burn. But coming, getting in a plane where everybody loved me, and then I land in New York, where, you know, you get on the subway and people are pushing you out the way. It's a shock, and you know, then I end up in my childhood bedroom. Like, what am I doing here? Like, it went, like a dream went, and I went to sleep and woke up 20 years later, and I'm still in that same place. And so I was very depressed. I was very isolated, lonely. All I knew back then was locker room. You know, that was our camaraderie. That's what most professionals miss about any sport. Yes, we love to compete and love winning and love being in the best shape and competing at a high level, but if you ask anybody, they're going to say they miss their friends, they miss their camaraderie, they miss the people who understand them the most. And so when I got home, I after I recovered from my knee surgery, I went to work, and I just wanted to stay busy so that I didn't think about playing football. So I was working two or three jobs all around the clock, and burning myself out. And then, you know, when I was out in public, it was like, hey, the Super Bowl champ's here. So now I'm living this lifestyle of an NFL player without those NFL funds coming in. So it's something that you have to pick and choose, and everybody's different. I was blessed to have a mom and dad and brothers and sisters and a circle of friends that no matter how big my head got when I was doing really well, They popped that bubble and brought me back down to earth. And no matter how low I got into depression, they always let me know that I was loved, and it wasn't because of football, it was because of who I am. And that helped me transition. But a lot of people that play football or professional sports in general don't have that. You know, a lot of people, the money and their celebrityism cost them their family, it cost them loved ones. I was never put in that situation where it cost me my friends or my family. But I know stories after stories where people don't. I haven't talked to my mom in 10 years because, or my dad, or because of money, or because of agents, or because of stealing or hands out. It's another drug. So I was blessed, but
yeah,
that transition can be, you know, I'm just thinking back on it now, and it brings a very sincere and serious thought to my head about when those days were over. I was in a dark place, and it wasn't easy to come out of.
Now, certainly a big part of your story is your NFL experience. And, you know, we just talked about life after the NFL. Thankfully, you know, as you say, you know, numerous times, you know, I've been blessed because I had a strong family, strong friends. So it was, you know, didn't let you get too high or too low. Thank God you had that. And it was actually an accident. There's another chapter of your life I really want to explore here, Gary. And again, today's guest, Gary Brown, number 68 himself, NFL player. He's also part of the 1996 Super Bowl winning champs, Green Bay Packers, of course. And we're talking about his life, his ability to dream, having lived his dream, now helping others live his dream through his organization, Dream 68. You actually, the next chapter I want to talk about, Gary, is an actual accident, not in the NFL or injury, but after the NFL. And it had a rather profound impact on you, and which then led to a rather interesting source of inspiration. So one, can you tell us about the accident and then the source of inspiration with a gentleman named Nick Wojcik?
I'll be happy to. And I'm happy to share this because, you know, I teach and I talk to people, and I'm even talking to other NFL players about football. It was a nice part of my life, but the best part about it is it's given me a platform. So after my NFL career, like I said, I was working numerous jobs, swinging a hammer, doing security work from the Hamptons to Manhattan, you know, running maintenance crews. I was doing anything I could do to make a dollar. And in one of my buildings, we had a gas leak, and I carried a lady, 120-pound lady, down a couple of flights of stairs. I thought I pulled a muscle. I kept working for a couple of weeks. It didn't go away. I started getting some therapy. It started getting worse. Within months, I deteriorated till I was paralyzed. I lost everything from waist down. And, you know, me, the athletic mentality was put some dirt on it, get me in the gym, I'll get it back somehow.
Right.
And it wasn't the case. I had herniated two discs in my thoracic spine. And they said I would never walk again. And that was probably my second biggest bout with depression, because up until that point, everything I did was with my hands and feet. And I wasn't worried about making a living because I wasn't scared of hard work. But now you're telling me I can't walk. You know, now it's an NFL Super Bowl champion. I didn't even want to go outside my house to be seen in a wheelchair. It was a very dark place. But then in my dark home, on the computer, I saw a guy named Nick Wojcik. And I'm pretty sure I'm saying his name right. I could be screwing it up. But he's a quadriplegic. He has a little foot sticking out of his hip. And he was on top of a table, on top of a stage, telling able-bodied people how to live life. And I heard the message that was coming out of his mouth, but to me, there was a bigger picture there. And I watched video after video after video. And you know, the moral to his story is, if you want to get over your own problems, help somebody else with theirs. And I did that, and it works. But my message I got from him was, I usually see a doctor or a therapist or somebody that's going to go jump in their car and go play a round of golf and then go home to their wife and do a jog and then, you know, say, oh, everything's going to be okay. This life for somebody that's paralyzed, and you don't have to worry. You could get a car that does this. And I'm like, walk a mile in my shoes before you tell me how I'm going to be okay. But then here I've seen a man with no arms and no legs, and this guy's jumping out of planes. He's skiing. He had a baby, got married, and I'm like, there is a life. And the story I got from him was to help somebody else. So I volunteered at Big Brother, Big Sister. And the day I volunteered, it just felt right in my heart. And then once I got my little and I started working with him, and it was a kid that desperately needed me. He was a 6'4", 390-pound, 14-year-old bad neighborhood. He was, he was living in a bad neighborhood where the point was there was people in the street that were rewarding him and giving him whatever he wanted so that he can come and join and be a part of their, you know, negative life or negative world more than the coach was pursuing him. And I had a conversation with the coach and I'm like, why won't you let this kid on the team? I don't need that distraction. I said, you could save this kid's life.
Right.
He's 6'4", 300 pounds. Any college would take him in.
Sure.
Just teach him the basics. Let him. And the coach wouldn't do it. So it was my job to get him mentally strong enough to not take what was easy and what was right in front of him, but to work hard for whatever he wanted. I still keep in touch with him to this day. And he is just as much a part of my life and a part of saving my life as I am his. Because after I started volunteering, I could do nothing wrong. I should have played lotto back then because I might have hit because it was just right for me. And it gave me the seed of giving back. And I had the conversation with myself that I always wanted to volunteer. I always wanted to give back. I always wanted to be a part of giving back. But I didn't have the time. When I'm playing football, there was always some gig for me to go to or something for me to do or running off to do something.
Sure.
And I never volunteered. And here I am now, paralyzed in my home with nothing but time on my hands. So I took the opportunity to learn about nonprofits, and I got on a couple of boards like the Red Cross and the Guide Dog Foundation.
Right.
And I started my own nonprofit organization, which initially was called the Gary Big Brown 68 Foundation. It's a mouthful, but because Tyler Perry told me I put my name on everything, so that's what I did.
Right.
And my aspirations was to teach kids how to dream. So now I do business as Dream 68, and it's just empowering kids to it's okay. Don't be afraid to follow your dreams, no matter how off the wall or crazy they seem.
Sure, right.
There's a way of doing it, and you can get it done.
Now, so Gary, you had the accident with the woman. You know, it paralyzed you. Then you see Nick Wojcik, who is a quadriplegic, who essentially is on stage teaching people, able-bodied people, how to live their lives. So that was a pivotal moment in your life for you. And as I started the show, Gary, I said, you know, so many adults allow themselves to become victims of excuses. Allow themselves, right? They get on that train of excuses. They become a passenger on the train of excuses. So from what I'm hearing for you, which is kind of a great way to take this story, you know, full circle, is that was kind of a moment that, you know, you could have gone one of either way and you chose not to to get on that train of excuses.
I think that we're all allowed to have a pity party. You got to give yourself a chance to suck it all in, and let it take its toll on you. But while you're there, you got to come up with a plan. You got to come up with your next move. Whether you make that next move in an hour, the next day, the next year, or 5 years, that same move's got to be made to get you out of that funk. So the sooner you start thinking about what you need to do next, and the sooner you start focusing on how to get out of it, the faster it's going to happen. It took a while for me, because I was handicapped, because I was in a home and I wasn't moving around, and I had to get over being embarrassed of being seen in a wheelchair. I had to get over them, that looked at people that I thought people were looking at me like, with oh, poor baby, or that pity party.
Right,
I had to get over that. Now, I don't care. I'll go out in a wheelchair, my walker, my cane. I am better. I'm not great, but I do walk. I can walk now, just as the fight in me. After I left the hospital, I asked the nurses to let my feet touch the ground. I was a big man, so I needed a couple of nurses to help lift me up. And I asked him to come back every day while I was in the hospital just to let my feet touch the ground. I couldn't feel it, but I said, maybe one day it'll come back. I'm still fighting the feeling, and I am getting better. And this is 10 years in the making, and I'm still, you know, I still strive to get better every day. I think that's something we need to do as just people. Strive to get better. It's never over, you know?
Well said. Now, you're a big part of your life, and your mission today is obviously the Foundation Dream 68. And in the stories that you've already shared, you've obviously made a huge impact on a lot of lives already, and I know you will continue to. Who inspires you, Gary?
My mom and dad. My mom and dad inspired me for accepting whatever situation I'm in. And if you don't like it, do something about it. My mother's a firm believer of education. Mm-hmm. Even coming out of high school, she was like, every kid of mine is going to go to college. And I'm like, Ma, high school kicked my butt enough. Don't you think it's a stretch for me to go to college? And she was like, you're going and you're going to do good. And that's just the way we're going to do it. Right. I worked my butt off to make sure I can afford to send my kids to college. You're the oldest. You got to set an example and you're going to do it. And
I like your mom already. She sounds like a solid woman.
She's a Southerner. You know, my mom's from Emporia, Virginia. And my dad's from Mobile, Alabama.
Right.
So how I end up being born and raised here on Long Island, I don't know. But I wouldn't trade them for anybody. You know, the life lessons that come from a Southern mother is precious. It's so sincere. It's about hard work. It's about respecting your neighbors. And it's about doing the best you can on what you have. There was times, you know, we're middle class. There was times we were having breakfast for dinner, and I was like, yay, Mom, we're having breakfast for dinner. You know, that's the kind of mom that's what my mom did, you know? She made everything look like it was easy. And it's, you know, her struggles weren't everybody else's struggles. My struggles aren't everybody else's struggles. And I start using that as motivation. So what that kid did for me and what mentoring does for me and my foundation does for me, it gets my butt out of bed every day. It gives me a reason to go to bed every night. I can't go to sleep at 2-3 in the clock in the morning, binge watching TV. I have people that are counting on me. That is my therapy. I get up and I go, no matter how I'm feeling. And there's days that I feel bad. You know, the weather and my condition, it's potluck. One day I could barely walk. The next day I could feel like I'm going to lose my cane, like I could shake my cane.
Right.
How it's going to be tomorrow, I don't know.
Right.
But they are my therapy just as much as I'm trying to help them. They're helping me.
Well, listen, your parents shared some great wisdom with you, and you're continuing to share that wisdom with the kids that you're mentoring today and helping today. And again, if you know you're listening today, today's guest, like I said, on the Profit Express, we bring on guests that you can listen, learn, and earn from. Today's guest, I know, did not disappoint. I'm sitting here as the host, thankful and blessed to have him on, because I want to remind you, I know listening to Gary's story has reminded you, listening right now, get off that couch, give yourself the permission to dust off a dream or create and follow a new dream. Get off the train of excuses. And that's why, Gary, your timing for the show was perfect to be on today. Guy, there's so many more questions I'd like to ask you. There's never enough time in a show like this when we're sharing a great story like yours is. So I guess what I'd like to ask as we wrap it up would be, what is Gary Brown's next big dream?
My next big dream is to take what I'm doing to the next level. Mm-hmm. I would like to produce several Gary Browns, several Dream 68 organizations, take care of not hundreds, but thousands and hundreds of thousands of people, because we all need help at some point and some time. I leaned on people at my darkest moments that helped me out, and we all have them. If you say you go through this life and you don't have them, then you're not living your life. I want to be there the way somebody was there for me. So Dream 68, GaryBrownDream68.org is a website that I built to show people what I do and right. how I do it. I want to help athletes that are retired, that lost their sense of purpose or their sense of drive, to let them know that they can mentor kids, that they can do exactly what I'm doing, and bring joyful, peaceful nights to themselves instead of, you know, that struggle and that demon inside of them. And a large part, I just want to smile and make everything around me smile. And that's basically what I do. And I see somebody with a problem, how can I help? What can I assist with? And if I can help you personally, I'll point you in the right direction. And if we do that as a society, I think that puts us on the right track to overcoming and overshadowing some of the darkness that we got going on the media and in today's world. It's disgusting watching the news. It's disgusting watching television.
Right,
because
right.
it's just bad, bad, bad. How about we do a good news station?
Yeah.
All good news, all the time.
Wouldn't that be refreshing?
I'll subscribe to it.
Well, listen, you followed your dream, you lived your dream, and I think not just on the field itself as an NFL player, you achieved quite a bit, but I think really you've made the most out of that career, and I think what you're doing now is so much more infinitely important than your NFL career and the lives that you're changing. And listen, Gary, it was great having you on. I appreciate you sharing some time today talking about your organization, Dream 68. But I can honestly say, Gary, you're the kind of person we need a lot more, especially today, for all the reasons you just mentioned. So keep doing the phenomenal job that you're doing. And thanks so much for sharing. It was great having you on today.
Tim, thank you for the opportunity to share a piece of my story. Thank you for the platform. There's so much to my story, and I would love to come back on anytime you would have me.
Of course.
I'd love to keep in touch. I think our conversation has been real with, you know, just straight from the heart, and I could do that any day, all day.
Well, listen, you got that, but my pleasure. Listen, my pleasure. And you got that book coming up, so now you got a real good reason to come back on. We're going to have something additional to speak about. So, again, thanks so much for being on board
Absolutely.
Today, Gary. Appreciate it. And
thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure, sir. My pleasure. And this is the Profit Express, where each and every week we're bringing guests on, like we had today with Gary Brown, number 68 himself, former NFL star and member of the 1996 NFL Super Bowl champions, the Packers. And now he's doing some hugely important work in life and society with his organization, Dream 68. So each and every Wednesday, look out for shows just like my show today with Gary, as they can be downloaded. We're on iTunes, we're on Spotify. Follow us on Instagram at The Profit Express. And of course, this is all made possible for the support. We cannot forget the support of people like Corbett Public Relations. And we always have to thank them for the support that they have and the love that they have for the show. So follow them at CorbettPR.com. That's CorbettPR.com. And they are promoting and protecting businesses and brands for over 30 years. So as always, special thanks to our friends at Corbett Public Relations. And until next Wednesday, continue to win the battle for business.